You may turn your Bibles on Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 to 17 for our scripture reading for today. Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 to 17. Since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature: sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of this, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived. But now you must rid yourselves of all such things as this: anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. Here there is no Greek or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and is in all. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, and as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are so grateful that once more we were all gathered here together to worship you and to praise you. Indeed, by just merely reading your word, we are already blessed. How much more when the pastor would deliver his message to us today. I know, Lord, that you want to speak to us, and we are praying that you will help us to listen. Lord, we are committing to you the rest of the service. We are giving you all the praises and the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you. I have heard people say it's very hard to be a Christian. Very difficult to live the Christian life. Or who can please God and enter heaven? It is very difficult, people say. And I say, what do you mean it's very difficult? Not very difficult, it is impossible. It is impossible to live a Christian life, to be a committed person to God. And yet, it is possible. And that reminded me about commitment. And I've said this before, this example, and I'll repeat it. There was a chicken and a pig discussing commitment. And those of you who have heard it or know it, you know what I'm going to say. The chicken said to the pig, you know what commitment is? Commitment is, I give every morning eggs to the master. And the pig said, you know what commitment is? To be able to give bacon to the master. One takes a total commitment. The other one is just cooperating with nature. So a Christian, the title of our message this morning is no longer slaves to sin. Not to be a slave to sin means to be free, to be liberated, to now not be bound down to earthly things and sinful nature. It is impossible for anyone to live the life of Christ. The life that Christ talks about and please God, unless he or she is completely changed. That is, unless the human nature disappears and a brand new nature reappears. In other words, unless the person dies and a new supernatural person is raised from the ashes, so to speak, it's not possible to understand what total commitment to God means. Just as a grain of wheat has to die to give birth to a new life. And coming from a background where my grandpa had a factory in a village in Athens, Greece, and I would see the farmers go and spread sow the seed, the wheat, and we'll go there and the farmer would go home. And as a little boy, I would wonder, what if the birds eat it? What if nothing happens? How does he know what's going to happen? And I had all these questions. And yet, a few weeks later, you would see the results of that effort that the farmer put in to sowing the seed. That wheat, that kernel, that piece of something that looked like piece of wood became alive and gave fruit, a lot of fruit. And just as a caterpillar disappears as a crawling worm and reappears as a beautiful moth or butterfly which spread its wings and flies away. I said, unless one is completely changed, cannot live the Christian life. There are millions of people, as a matter of fact, billions of people, who claim to be religious. And there are millions of Christians who believe they are Christians because they were born Christians in Christian family, or because they were baptized as a little baby, or because they go to church, or because they are members of a church, or because they are deacons and elders, or because they are pastors and priests. They think that they will inherit eternal life. But the Bible makes it absolutely clear that unless we die to the old person and a brand new person reappears, like the caterpillar has died, well, did not die actually, it's changed to new creature, we will not inherit eternal life. This change is called metamorphosis. And for the Greeks we have here this morning, this word is very clear. In Greek, means a change of form or shape. Metamorphosis. I believe they use it in English too. They say metamorphosized. In the case of the caterpillar, we see a helpless caterpillar struggling to walk, or rather crawl, and unable to protect itself from the enemy, changed and be transformed to a beautiful butterfly. This is what metamorphosis is. And this metamorphosis, this process of change, is a picture of the transformation that takes place in a person when he is born again. Now, many are confused with this. As I mentioned before, my wife and I just returned about a month or so ago from Armenia, from our mission trip, and many young people accepted the Lord and they were baptized, and yet they are very confused. They thought the moment they were baptized, everything will change in their mind. Everything will change in their heart. Everything will become holy. And yet now they're still struggling with some things. And now by Skype or phone calls, I'm encouraging these young people to allow the Holy Spirit to change them. The process sometimes takes more than just a second. There are situations where people have changed instantaneously when they accepted Christ, and there are others who will have to deal with the old person still. No wonder why Jesus said to Nicodemus, a member of the Jewish ruling council, and I quote, "No one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to Spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying you must be born again." There are many people that are turned off by the statement or the words "born again." There are many people who think that this is a Protestant or evangelical term. There are many who believe that this makes no sense. But it's neither Protestant or Armenian or Greek or French. It is the word, the breath of God, written in the Word of God, that says every one of us has to be born from above. And when we are born anew, and when we change from a caterpillar to a butterfly, then we don't want to revisit the mud and the earth. Before we came to Christ for His changing touch, we were like caterpillars, earthbound and helpless, hoping that we would go through life without being stepped on and squashed to death. For all intents and purposes, we were supernaturally, or spiritually, I should say, dead, at least as far as God was concerned. The Bible puts it this way, and I quote Ephesians 2, "As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient, made us alive with Christ. Even when we were dead in transgressions, it is by grace you have been saved." And just as the caterpillar has to be transformed before it becomes a new creature that can fly, so must a person also go through the process of metamorphosis and transformation. The old nature, the cocoon of the sin surrounding the person like caterpillar's pupa, has to die before the person is liberated and now has a new life, and a new life is created. In Romans 6, we read, "For we know that our old self was crucified with him, so that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin, because anyone who has died has been freed from sin." Becoming a Christian is not to be enslaved to a religion. Become a Christian is not to put ourselves under rules and regulations that are not reasonable. Being a born-again Christian does not mean that you now forget about the world's blessings that God has given us. The contrary, like the butterfly now enjoys pure, clean juices from the flowers that butterfly visits. It's not like the caterpillar who is now bound, was bound to earth and would only be able to eat what the earth offered or what someone threw at this caterpillar. We are freed. We have liberty. We now can fly to heights that we never were able to do before. Now the Christian can proudly say, I am a son. I am the daughter of God, my Creator. Yes, I know. I visit the website. I visit Facebook. And I see young people and older men and women are questioning God. Where is God? There is no God. And you know what? The fool said in his heart, there is no God, is so true. Because when I questioned one and I said, so where do we come or what? The person had no answer. He said, well, that's why I'm debating it. Just because you don't see the air you breathe, it doesn't mean you stop breathing. Just because your heart, you cannot see your heart beating, it doesn't mean that it has stopped. You know that it's beating because you feel it, because it gives life. That's how it is with the believer. We know God exists. We know that God is in control because of what happens in our life, because what is not happening in creation. And we know that the peace and joy that we enjoy when we go to bed at night comes from God. That is what a transformed life is all about. It is the new life. A true believer is no longer caterpillar stuck to the ground, or should not be. The true believer in Christ is a beautiful butterfly. We can fly and live above ground, above the mud and sin of the world. Apostle Paul puts it this way. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. Colossians 3:2. A paraphrased version of Colossians 3:1 says, would be something like this, and I would like to quote it. It's a long portion, but I would like to read this paraphrased version. So if you are then serious about this new resurrected life with Christ, act like it. Go after the things that please God. Don't shuffle along, eyes to the ground, absorbed with things in front of you. Look up to Christ. That's where the action is. Your old life is dead. Your new life is with Christ in God. He is your life. Reject. Kill off everything connected with the old deadly nature, sexual immorality, impurity, lust, doing whatever you feel like, whenever you feel like it, and grabbing whatever attracts you. That is life shaped by things and feelings instead of by God. It's because of these kind of things that God is about to explode in anger. If it wasn't long ago that you were doing all that stuff and not knowing any better, but you know better now, so make sure it is all gone for good. Things like bad temper, anger, meanness, filthy language, lies, etc. You are finished with that old life the way it was. It is like an old set of clothes you have removed and put in the fire. Now you are dressed in a new wardrobe. Every item of your new way of life is custom made by God just for you with His label on it. Now let's look at some highlights from this paraphrase portion of Colossians 3. Now let's just consider it for a moment. If you are serious about living this new life, I mean your life with Christ, act like it. Live your new life. The problem today in the church, the problem today in our families, The problem today in our Christian culture is that once you've been saved and forgiven, go ahead and live, enjoy your life. Yes, there's nothing wrong in enjoying your food, enjoying your relationship with your spouse, enjoying whatever God has given you. And yet, remember, you are set apart. You are not any longer crawling in the mud, but like a butterfly. You have been liberated, freed to enjoy only select foods. To enjoy only the things that are pure and clean. Your old life is dead or should be dead. And now your new life, which is your real life, should reflect Christ who is in you. If my life would reflect Christ all day, then people would know that there is no room for stuff that is impure and ungodly. But because we have compromised so often, people are not sure. And because the church is so involved with other activities, they're not sure what the mission of the church is. The church, ecclesia, means the gathering of believers, the gathering of the followers of Jesus Christ. The church is a place where we get together and we are safe with each other and because of each other and because of the Holy Spirit there. And now we can pray, we can praise God, and we can listen to God, not entertain. The church is not a theater, it has become. The church is not a political center, it has become. The church is not a business place, it has become. But the church is a place where everyone, from the beggar to the whatever the person is, can come and worship together. You must reject, remove anything that is connected with the old way of life that leads to death. Once again, let me go back to the caterpillar and the butterfly. The butterfly now rejects the mud, doesn't want to crawl anymore right on the face of the earth, wants to fly, wants to enjoy the heights, wants to enjoy the pure air. And that's how a Christian should be. We must rejoice, we must be happy that we have been cleansed, purified, given a new life, a new beginning, and our journey is protected. We do have the assurance of our salvation. What you did in the past, you did because you did not know any better. But you know better now. So you must make sure that all that bad and useless stuff is gone forever. The problem is, and I when I use this, some people smile, we cannot have our cake and eat it too. You cannot enjoy looking at that beautiful cake and say, I can't eat it. I'm not gonna cut it, and yet want to eat it and start eating it. And you either surrender your life completely and reject the world and start enjoying the pureness, the holiness of God, or stay in the world. The man who has one foot in the world and the other foot in spiritual things is a fool, because he enjoys neither the world nor Christ. He enjoys neither holiness or full sinful way of life. He misses out in both. That's why the Bible says, because you are neither cold or hot, I will spew you out of my mouth. I would rather you be either cold or hot. Your old clothes are burned in the fire, must be burned. You are new, now dressed in a brand new wardrobe. God has made you a prince, a princess, act like one. Live like one. And I believe very often we forget whose children we are. We forget that God, our Creator, is our sustainer. And we must accept the title of a prince and princess. As a butterfly does not crawl like a caterpillar, nor it has the desire to do so, so is with a born-again Christian who is transformed and given a new life. He or she does not want to go back into the old deadly way of life for some joy and happiness. If you are a born-again, transformed Christian believer, then live your new life in Him and enjoy doing it. May God bless His words. Father in heaven, we thank You for freeing us from the chains of slavery to sin. Thank You, Lord, for giving us new life, a new beginning. Please, Lord, be with us this morning and for the rest of our journey on this earth. Help each one of us to fight the good fight, finish our course, and keep the faith. In Your blessed name I pray, Amen.